know what to do about it, right? Of course, I'm talking about the subject of hell. Nobody likes to talk about hell, and nobody certainly doesn't want to go there, right? But most of those people that are headed there probably don't even realize it, because they haven't taken the time to seek Jesus or any of his ways. Amen? So we're going to talk about that tonight. I know that you know about hell. I know that. But I want to give you some more ammunition that you can use. You know, put it in your holster so you can draw it out and give the gospel to those who need it. Amen? Let's ask the Lord to be with us. Father, be with us now as we get into your word and discuss. This is a delicate subject, Lord, and it needs to be talked about more often, but nobody likes to because it's so negative. It can be a positive thing if we are in the right place with the right person. We know we can be safe. So Lord, help us to trust our Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for us and took away the power of hell over us, the power of the enemy. We thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. According to the Bible, hell is real. It's real. You can check Mark 9:43 to get the scripture on it. No, I didn't write it down for you. You'll have to make a note and check it out, right? We're not even going to stay there. We're just going to mention it and move on. So just relax. Take it in. It is where, hell that is where sinners are punished. That is their reward. That's according to Matthew 5:22. It is a place of torment, according to Revelation 14:11. And it is everlasting. It's eternal for those who end up there, according to Mark 9:48. Hell, as you know, was originally created for our greatest enemy, Satan. It was for him and his angels who disobeyed God and thought they could handle everything and they didn't need him. You can find that in Matthew 25:41. Tonight, we're going to put an end to some of the more prevalent myths about hell and add to our biblical understanding. So, without delay, myth number one, the devil's headquarters are in hell. His headquarters are in hell. The devil is not in hell now. And his headquarters are not there now. And whenever he ends up there, he's not going to have headquarters there. He's going to have low quarters there, I think. But nonetheless, people think, well, that's where the devil reigns and rules and comes out of, you know, and vexes us. But it's not true. Hell, sometimes referred to as the lake of fire and the second death, will receive Satan at the end of our Lord Jesus Christ's millennial reign. That's when he'll be banished there for good. Also, hell is a place of torment. You probably knew that, right? Luke 16:23-24 and Revelation 20:10 confirm this. So the cartoon images that we watched Walt Disney bombard us with for years and years. Not true. Not true at all. There's no prancing devils down there brandishing pitchforks and dancing around and singing. That's not the way it is. That's just nonsense. Rather than partying with his legions of demons, Satan will languish in torment in hell. You know what his biggest torment is probably going to be? That he couldn't take it. He couldn't bring all of it to himself. He wanted to overthrow the Lord. God Almighty, and he couldn't do it. So the devil's headquarters are not in hell. He's loose now and doing whatever he can to draw people and even saints away from what they should be doing. Amen?
Amen.
Myth number two. Hell is reserved solely for the worst of evildoers, such as cruel dictators and serial killers. They're the only ones going there. That's right. Luke 12, 47 through 49 says this. I'll read this one to you. It's quite a little bit lengthy. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. The one who doesn't know, right? That's what it says. One who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with fewer blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So, we know, don't we? So, we're accountable. All those who know and have heard the word, the gospel of Jesus and denied him, they're the ones who've been given much. They've been given the truth of Jesus Christ, and yet they denied it. So they're going to be fully accountable for their end result. Amen?
Amen.
All who refuse God's mercy must endure his wrath. So if you deny Christ and what he did for you on the cross, you're going to endure it. It doesn't matter how good you are in this life. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You know all this. But remember it so that when somebody confronts you, you can let them know. This is what the scripture says. You're going to be held accountable. Yes.
According to the scripture, Jesus.
That's right. They're under the wrath and they'll remain there until they say otherwise and call on the Lord. There is heaven and there is hell. There is no third option. That's it. You're in one place or you're in the other. There's no intermediate place. You can find that in John 3:18. That's not where you find that. There's heaven and hell and there's no third option. While this reality makes the average person uncomfortable, there will be more unrepentant barbers, plumbers, middle school teachers, and all sorts that you can name and think of in hell, then there will be tyrants such as Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin and Mao. There'll be way more common people there. Surely this doesn't apply to me. That's for all the bad people, right? I'm not a bad person. I'm okay, so I think I'll be all right. No, unless you're calling on the Lord for your salvation, you're lost and you're going the wrong way. So, people will not be sent to the lake of fire because they murdered millions of people or did the most heinous of crimes. Rather, all in hell will suffer there because they rejected the mercy and love of Jesus. They refuse his gift of salvation. And so they will have to pay the price. That's myth number two. Myth number three is this. Surely a loving God will not send people to hell. How can you justify that? God is love. His word says that. How can he send people to hell? He doesn't. You're right. If by love one is thinking of an indulgent, enabling, misguided sort of sentimental God, then there would be no eternal punishment. Everything would be good, right? Forgive everything, nothing required of that. But God is not like a drowsy old man who winks at his grandchildren's mischievous antics. God is a just God, a just creator. Romans 12:19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." So he is going to take responsibility for judgment and punishment. It's totally up to him. Who else is worthy of that? Of course, no one. No one is. Rather than accusing God of being cruel, we should remember hell is reserved for those who, by their own declaration, denied Jesus Christ as Savior. They said, "No, I don't believe it. Don't bother me with that stuff." I had a woman tell me that one day. "Don't bother me with that stuff." And off she went. I didn't even have a chance to say anything to her after that. So, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There's no other answer. That's it. It's Jesus and Him alone. Truth is, there will be no escape other than Jesus Christ. That's according to Scripture, Hebrews 2:3. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. And I'm not saying that's Hebrews 2:3, I'm just saying, okay? That's one that pops up in memory. Every now and then it fires up, you know what I mean? The problem is this, the world draws us away, draws us apart. It plays to our selfish flesh and our selfish desires. And we must learn to lean on the Lord, follow the Holy Spirit, and not give in. Amen? The world clouds people's minds and hearts with earthly matters until they don't think to call on the Lord. How many people run into a disaster or a problem and they never think to call on the Lord? Or if they do, it's not in a praiseworthy manner. You get what I mean? Usually it's a complaining way and not so nice. They get clouded by all the noise in the world and they don't know what to do. Ultimately, hell will prove to be a place for those who placed the world in a higher position of importance than they did Jesus Christ. Even though they heard it many times from many different places, they'll be lost. Sad but true. A loving God does not send us to hell. We make that choice. Don't want to go? Choose a better way. Amen? Amen. Myth number 4. There's only 25 more. Not really. Just one more after this. Here's myth 4. A just God would not send people to hell. Well, that sounds like the same as number 3, doesn't it? Well, let's see what I got here. Of all the arguments against hell, this may be the weakest. A just God. The other one was a loving God. This is a just God, right? Where else would a just God send those who refused His mercy and failed to repent of their evil? Where else is He going to send them? That's the place designated for those kinds of people. Amen? Amen. In our human criminal justice system, lawbreakers are sent to prison. There's a place for them, isn't there? And so there's a place for those in the spirit world that God has designated for those who don't care to try to live for Him, with Him, please Him, get along with Him. Additionally, should a just God reward hardened evildoers with eternal bliss? Well, I think we know the answer to that, don't we? They don't deserve it. And God is a just God, is He not? There's only one way you can avoid His justice, and that's to accept Jesus Christ, who became your justice. In effect, He took your licks, didn't he? I remember when I was in middle school, back then they called it junior high. They didn't have middle school yet. And when you got in trouble and went to the office, not the principal, but the assistant principal, now called the vice principal, he's the one who administered the paddle. And then they got fancy and started drilling holes in it so they could swing it even harder. Yes, the Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge. All right, there you go. It was a memorable experience. So, the Lord isn't going to send evildoers to a place of bliss and, hey, this is a nice place. Let's just hang out here for eternity. It'll be okay. No, it won't. Additionally, those who will occupy hell will be those who avoided contact, companionship, and communication with the one who made them from the beginning. God made me. Why shouldn't I honor him? Now, I could understand it if somebody had a really hard, tough life and they never got the good news that the Lord would help them if they would lean on him. I could understand them being that way, but you can come out of that. People can come out of that if they hear the gospel and are encouraged, right, spiritually by someone and receive the Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis explained, and I quote, "There are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God says in the end, 'Thy will be done.'" They didn't call on the Lord. They figured they could handle it. So God lets them. He lets them. You thought you could handle it? Okay, let's see. Hell will be populated by people, as we've already said, who chose to be there. They denied Christ. That's 4 out of 5. Here's the last one. Myth number 5. Hell is merely a scare tactic. Going to scare you into becoming a believer, right? It's there to enforce a particular brand of allegiance or behavior. In other words, being a loving Christian. We're going to scare you into being a good person, right? If hell is real, then we do well to fear it. We believe hell is real. We have the scriptures on it. We don't doubt that. But we don't have to fear it now either, do we? Because our Lord has saved us from that. And we trust in him, and we look forward to being with him in his goodness. If hell is only a scare tactic, then might the same be said of warnings on cigarette packages? Or on alcoholic beverages? Or other negative choices in life? You know, the pleasures of life? You can believe it. A lot of research went into that, didn't it? And so they're telling you the truth. Their danger of killing us physically, cigarettes, alcohol, things like that, the danger of us being killed by those things is a reality, is it not? Yes, if you overindulge, sometimes you don't even have to overindulge. That's the thing about kids nowadays. You know, you're always tempted when you're a kid. Especially when you get to be a teenager and you know everything and you don't need any more advice. And somebody says, here, try this. What is it? Oh, it's fentanyl. It might be the last thing you ever do. First and last. You see, there's no mercy anymore. You understand why that is? Because we're getting near the end. And Satan is more bold. He doesn't have time to waste now. One shot deal. So the danger of being killed by these things that we're warned about is truly there. The warning of Jesus of the dangers of hell are also reality. Matthew 10:28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Be rather afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Yes, they'll both be destroyed. Not really, though, if you think about it. You're not really destroyed. You don't become nothing. All of a sudden, that's it, you're done. No, it goes on and on. It's eternal. And most people don't think about that. They don't understand it. It's not you're going to be there for a while and it's going to be terrible and then it's going to be over. And you'll be nothing. No, it's not like that. It goes on and on, but we don't understand it. The Lord has alerted us to the dangers of hell because it is real. Another play on the name of his country where his people are living, right? Is real. God is real. Hell is real. All right, okay. So things are real with the Lord. He's not fooling around. Those who deny hell's existence are not wiser, smarter, and better informed than the Son of God, are they? They don't know, but they're going to find out. To deny the perils of hell is to cast doubt on the words of Jesus, our Savior. We should never, ever do that, and I don't think we do. And so when somebody denies it, no, we have the ammunition, we have the Scripture, we have the Lord's Word on it. Hell is a place of misery and suffering. It is where torment and anguish never cease, according to Revelation 14:11. Whether the flames may be taken as literal and symbolic of great woe, or if they're symbolic, we believe that they are actually real. Be certain that all this world has to offer, money, fame, reputation, power, or personal gratification, is hardly worth an eternity in hell. Would you agree? We need to let people know that. Their eternal soul is at stake, according to Mark 8:36 through 38. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's Ezekiel 8:32. He finds no satisfaction in those who choose hell over him. He grieves over souls that are lost. He wants everyone to be with him. I would that everyone would be saved. But we know that's not going to happen. On the contrary, God loved and loves the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son to rescue us and pay the price for our wrongdoing. The death of his Son and his resurrection are good news for lost sinners. That's why we call it as good news. It's the best news ever, right? Because our sin debt is paid in full by the shed blood and the battered body of Jesus Christ. Those who receive God's grace through faith will live how long? Forever in His grace with Him. Can you even imagine it? No, we can't imagine it. We're going to be just flabbergasted, I think, when we get there and see it. Jesus is the best that God could give us because He's God. God has nothing greater to offer than His Son. Those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ have no reason to fear death. We don't have to fear death. We're not foolish. We don't go out there and do stupid things and challenge death. No, we live for Christ so we can tell the world the good news of Jesus. That's why we don't fear death, so we can continue on. But death is just, think of it this way, a doorway. It's a door into God's presence. And for believers, the grave doesn't exist. Just this old body is going to be in there. But we're not. We're going on to glory. Amen?
Amen.
We should be shouting and running around the room. praising God, right? So this is why we praise God. This is why we praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they've given us eternal life. And it's even going to be better than this life. The best life you can imagine in this world doesn't compare to being in the least place in glory, right? So that's why we praise God for His undeniable love, mercy, and grace. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Five things that are myths that we now know are false. Do you want to add anything? Now's the time.
I've heard people say,
yeah.
I mean, I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
But if hell is a scare tactic, then why did Jesus come and die instead of suffering about such a scare tactic?
Did you ask him that? Did you ask him that? Ask him that.
Not really. I just overheard them talking about it. But Jesus wouldn't came and died on a cross.
Do you think it would be okay if you heard somebody saying that, if you said, excuse me a minute. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe Jesus would have gone and suffered on the cross because of a lie? You see, that's the kind of boldness we need to start having. Because the time is growing short. The time is growing short. So we need to be more bold. Yes.
Recently, there's been a lot of so-called Christians and teachers who are jumping on the bandwagon of denialation. You know, Kirk Cameron recently announced that he decided, you know, annihilation is true. A lot of people are, oh, well, God is so merciful and good that He won't, you know, hell is not eternal. He'll just, after a while, just
annihilate. Right.
And, you know, that's a lie from the pit, because Satan, he knows his time is short, and people are starting to think about him and heaven and Jesus and everything, and he's like, well, you can go on, and you're not going to suffer forever.
Yes.
But the Bible, clearly, you read the scriptures tonight.
Kurt, show me. Show me in the scripture where it says we'll be annihilated.
I can find scriptures that say the opposite.
Won't be in there.
Yeah.
Call him up. Tell him. Write him a letter. Yes. I'm just telling him. We just need to be bold. It's that time that we need to start being that way. Not offensively bold, but willing to speak up. That's all I'm saying. Yes.
We have a lot of so-called churches, though, that never mention salvation. Supposed Christian churches, no salvation message at all.
Right.
So how is a congregation of 150 people ever going to know about salvation if they don't tell them?
Well, the rioters in Minneapolis are bold enough to run into a church on Sunday morning and create havoc. Maybe we should run in there and tell them about Jesus. They're not getting it from their pastor. Maybe somebody needs to run in there and tell them. And you're going to call the police? Go ahead, call them. We'll be on the news. Everybody will hear it. Why did you run in there and do that? So they would get the good news that Christ died, gave Himself for them, shed His blood. They need salvation, right? It would go across the country. They might. You have to find a conservative Christian news network that would not edit it out, but would broadcast it. So when that happens, when we do that, we need to tell somebody, hey, call Steve Bannon at Real America's Voice. Tell them, right? So they'll put it on there. Because you don't hear anything. You hear nothing positive about any conservative person on public media. It just doesn't happen. Everything is bad, 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 bad. But everything they do is good, 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 good. Even though we know it's not, right? All right. Anything else? One last parting comment? Go ahead.
I
lost. Satan has their eyes. And I've noticed our church collectively, as you have said, kind of sucks back from teaching about hell and Satan and his ways. And unless we know our enemy, we can't combat him. Not only that, but if we're not hearing it, I know they're not hearing it.
Exactly.
So it helps me stay soft whenever
that's
I
right.
approach people.
Right.
That their ways show me that they're perhaps living for Satan instead of God, because it's one way or the other. It's God or Satan.
That's right. Yes. But we don't speak up.
No. I'd like to say that we sing in here about the family of God.
Yes.
And so much of what Jesus has told us is about the family. And I've talked to people who say, I know who Jesus is, and I agree with them. They do know who he is, but they don't have a family relationship with him as we do. You wouldn't say, I know who Joe Jones is, therefore I'm married to him. No, just because you know who he is does not mean that you have a personal relationship with him.
Right.
And that's the part that's the hardest to get over. The other thing is, it's easy to say that Jesus saves, but it's hard to get somebody to understand that they need to be saved.
Right.
Yeah.
So
the hardest part is to get them to understand they need salvation.
Right. So if they say, yeah, I know Jesus. Okay, do you hang out with him? Do I hang out with him? Yeah, do you hang out with him? Well, how can I hang out with him? You get into his word and read the word. You can pray. You can fellowship with other believers. You can even go to church and you can hang out with him there. You know, put it in terms that they understand. You know, you hang out with your friends, right? You hang out with your loved ones. Do you hang out with Jesus? They could understand that. Yep.
You were asking about what we as believers can do to change things that are going wrong in the world. Well, you've always heard of the silent majority in the United States, that Christians and conservatives are the same. Well, we may not be the majority anymore, and that's because we remain silent. So we need to be the vocal majority. We need to speak out and do what Jesus said and tell people about it and not be silent, because silence is acquiescence. It's agreement with what is going on. So we can't do that.
We need to become visible.
Yes.
So do you see, have you seen any of the video footage of all these rioters? They're not rioters, they're just protesters, right? But they're filling, the road is filled, you can't hardly walk, they're moving down the road, right? You've seen those videos, right? What if you got a couple of thousand believers to put on a red hat and mix in there? Or walk alongside? Somehow become visible. I don't know what's going to happen. You might have to leave because they might get violent. Because they're going to notice you're dressed differently. Why are you dressed that way? Because I want people to know that Jesus is real and I'm representing him. And so are all these other thousands of people with the red hat on. They might not like that. So you have to tell your red hat people, you have to be ready to leave. Yes. Just be ready to leave. You're not going to fist fight. You're not going to fight with them. Just be ready to leave. And they're going to call you names, call you a coward and whatever. Just leave.
Yep.
And then the next time, come back again. Just thinking outside the box a little bit. I'm not going to move to Minneapolis to try that either. All right. So. Yes, it's too cold here right now. Okay, so let's go to the Lord and then we can go home and sit by our heater. Father, I thank you for your word and the inspiration that you bring us through it, Lord. Help us to come up with ways to be more visible for you, not in a way that's offensive, Lord, but just in a way that we're noticed and people understand that we are representing you and your goodness. And so, Lord, that's why we have to be peaceful. That's why we have to be loving. And whatever we do, we have to be that way. So, Lord, guide us by your Holy Spirit. Give us the right ideas, the right frame of mind, the right circumstances to do it, Lord. And then give us the holy unction to follow through and do it. Because we need to start representing for you, Lord. We know that. Help us to do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.